retirements, a party switch, and a death. Big changes are ahead for the Western Mass delegation on Beacon Hill. I'm Carrie Healy, and now it's time for Beacon Hill in 5, our quick look at the week ahead in politics and government in Massachusetts. We're joined now by Matt Murphy with the Statehouse News Service. Thanks for your time, Matt.
Thank you for having me.
We learned last week that two veteran Western Massachusetts legislators won't be seeking re-election. Another rep left his party, and late last week, Representative Peter Cocott of Northampton passed away. Matt, how are these changes going to be felt and realized on Beacon Hill?
Yeah, I mean, starting with Rep. Peter Cocott that you just mentioned, I mean, his passing last week certainly caught a lot of people by surprise. My understanding is that among his colleagues, many of them hadn't even heard until very recently that he was ill and did not expect this to happen so soon and so suddenly. And he was a well-respected, well-regarded lawmaker and friend to many of them. And he also held a pretty significant role as he was working to write what was supposed to be one of the major pieces of legislation on the agenda this year, a healthcare cost-saving bill. So that is a bit in flux. And the loss of him, as well as Rep. Stephen Kulik, who's the vice chair of Ways and Means in the House, the retirements of Rep. Cybak, and as you mentioned, Solomon Goldstein-Rose leaving the Democratic Party. I mean, it does kind of throw the whole delegation from the region into flux. And we're talking about people who were in leadership positions and in positions of power here on Beacon Hill that could use those to deliver for their districts.
You mentioned that healthcare cost-saving bill. Are lawmakers likely to be able to rebound from the loss of Cocott spearheading that quickly and be able to move on?
How quickly they move on, I would be surprised if this didn't cause some kind of delay. There had been talk that they were going to try and take up a bill before they debate their budget in April. I don't know if that's any longer possible, but certainly Vice Chairman Roy is still there and is aware of and involved in what was going on in the committee, and the staff has been working on this bill themselves, and there will be continuity there. I'm sure the Speaker will want to get a chairperson into that position quickly, because we've seen that moving major pieces of legislation this session has been something of a grind. Not a lot of big things have gotten done, and they certainly don't want this to fall by the wayside in an election year when they're looking for accomplishments to point to.
As I understand it, Matt, we're just a few days away from a deadline for a report back from the House counsel, who was tasked with analyzing the current sexual harassment policy and climate. That order came, of course, last fall after sexual harassment allegations rocked the Statehouse. Is this report likely to put the sexual harassment issue to rest, well, at least in the House, and enable lawmakers to focus on that legislative agenda?
I mean, maybe at least in the House, but unfortunately, I don't think Beacon Hill is going to move past this issue anytime soon. As you mentioned, I mean, so far, a lot of the discussion about this issue and problems in the Statehouse with workplace environments or around sexual harassment has been focused on the Senate, but I don't think it's entirely confined to the Senate, and I don't think people believe that either. The House counsel has been talking to legislators' staff about policies and ways to strengthen that, and he is due to report by March 1st, which is Thursday, with his recommendations, and we're expecting to see at least some efforts to strengthen the policies around protecting interns. You know, there are many of them who cycle in and out of this building and are currently not protected. We have seen proposals to kind of create independent authorities to receive and investigate and vet allegations of sexual harassment or other, kind of office workplace violations. There could be some recommendations around that issue. We don't know just yet what House Counsel Jim Kennedy is thinking, but those are some of the topics we know that he's been exploring.
Matt Murphy, a reporter with the Statehouse News Service in Boston. Thanks for joining us, Matt.
Thanks for having me.
Beacon Hill in 5, our weekly check-in at the Statehouse, is now a podcast. You can subscribe to it wherever you get your podcasts or at nepr.net/podcasts. This is New England Public Radio. ¶¶